Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, and Deuteronomy 5 and 16, we're talking about giving dad honor, giving dad honor. And of course, it's Father's Day message, our topic. Honor thy father, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians 6, 2 says. And over Deuteronomy 5 and 16, written in the Old Testament, and of course it covers the New as well, honor your father. And so that's our emphasis this morning, that part. And your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that you may be well with you in the land which your Lord your God has given you. The Lord gave that to the children of Israel there when they came. And so I want to give you an idea that I'd like to get across to you this morning. That is to honor to whoever is honors due. You know, Romans, the last part of Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, honor to whom honor. And so we need to take time every once in a while to honor those that are in here. And that's why we pray for our city. We pray for our mayor, Ken Boshkoff, and all the rest of the councilor members. And we pray for all those who work in different offices in the city, those who preside over every organization in the city. You know, it's difficult to run things. It's not easy to be an executive. I was watching last night the head of the hospital making some presentations, and that's a heavy-duty job. And the other day, I was talking to a young lady whose sister became an executive in the city over children's services. It's a heavy job. And so it's not an easy job for them, and please pray for these individuals. Amen? It's your responsibility. Praise God. I just passed that on to you from the Lord. Praise God. Amen? And so I want to quote something from about dads, and that is a man by the name of Frank Pittman. He says, fathering is not something something perfect men do, but something that perfects men. And I could say amen to that, because, you know, nobody gives you a manual when you become a dad. And you know, we weren't put in school. We learned as we go along. And we try to do our best with different things. You know, I have marriage classes with the ones who get married. We spend at least six or more sessions to plan about a marriage. Anybody want to get married, just talk to me right after this service. We'll arrange that for you. And you might want to need a refreshing, too. So today we give honor to dad by celebrating them on this special day. The scriptures command us that we should honor our fathers as well as our mothers and our parents. There are many reasons for this, and there are many benefits that come along with honoring our father. We should honor our fathers. And we should honor, and because honor is due to your father. Amen. You know, we need to do that. And then we could talk about many places. But I want to just say one thing before I continue on, because I've noticed about myself that I'm doing something I told Pastor Ken never to do. That is to show up Sunday morning with tea, with a sleeveless shirt. And so it was so warm today that I took it off, and beside that jacket I had it was too big for me. So I need a new jacket for Father's Day. or I need somebody to sew my cut my thing there. So anyway, excuse me for showing my arms. So I didn't want to scare anybody. What does Steve says, sun's out, dun's out. So that's what he says. Anyway, I don't know where he is. He's got chubby little arms, not like mine. Anyways, don't tell him I said that. He's not here yet. Praise God. Anyways, we sure appreciate that video we saw. That's the first time I saw that. They said they're going to put a video on. There's another video coming, too, about her anniversary, about 20, how many years have we been here? Is it like 20 years? 10 years? We've been here for 10 years, ever since Timmy. Timmy was born, the morning he was born, he was here Sunday, the next Sunday, the same day. So Timmy, where are you? Is he gone? So we're here for 10 years in this building, and we paid it off And we put a bunch of money in this, and thank God for it. And the Lord has been able to bless us. And we've got a new project, some new projects coming up. And we're going to build a swimming pool right out here. A hockey arena. A gymnasium. and little tiny homes. For the staff when they're finished, you know. Amen. So, but you know what? They're going to build tiny homes in our city. And I know I had a step parent, not a step parent, my foster dad, I guess we call him. He builds those little things. So we used to drive down the road over here, you know, on what is that, Lakeshore Drive somewhere, maybe even closer. There was a guy by the name of Aino, and he used to build these little shacks for sauna. I used to think, man, this is a small house, but it was a sauna. Until I met my wife, and she took me, and then Dad built a big sauna house. Nice, nice big sauna. So it's nice, praise God. But I was always afraid to get in there. I was going to die in there, but it's really hot in there. So how many of you like saunas in here? Anybody like saunas? But we have a sauna. My wife, when her dad passed away, she gave our dad, gave money, and so she's able to build a nice sauna. So if you ever need a sauna, let me know. It's going to cost you some few bucks, but you come. Anyway, I want more quotes about Dad. So somebody said, this man by the name of Jim says, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could ever give another person. He believed in me. And that's what a wonderful thing, you know, for your dad. My dad believed in me, and I'm glad he did. And he had, great aspirations for me, and I loved my dad. My dad was a very quiet man, not like me, but anyway. The late renowned evangelist Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets of our society. This is what Billy Graham said. A man by the name of Roland Warren, author of Raising Sons of Promise and Bad Dads, he said, good fathers do three things. They provide, they nurture, and they guide. Today, we could say a lot about the role of parents and dads in this day, and we'll say some more. I want to read you a story. How many of you like a story? I love stories when preachers give stories. And it's about a dad and a son in a bad relationship, a bad situation. I picked up this story from a minister, a friend of mine, of ours, on his website. And we you might have heard this before, but pretend that you didn't hear it. And this is for the first time. It's a story about broken relationships. I guess people have had hard times with dad and parents. And if this is you, you can relate to it. I guess we can all relate to it. There's a son by the name of, it's called In Search of Paco. There's any Pacos in this house. And nobody Pacos. There's a Spanish story about a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, at the last desperation effort to find him, the father put out an ad in the Madrid newspaper. The ad read, dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their father. And that's probably a story that, you know, there's probably more than 800 people that have had bad relationships with their father and left on a bad note. You know, I had a chance to work with my dad over the years, and I didn't always like my dad because we've had some bad things. Perhaps you may have been unfortunate. And so today we honor Dad. Paul's writing to the church here at Ephesus and gives God's view about dad and the reasons why we have a day like this to honor our fathers, our dads. And honor goes a long way, doesn't it? It goes a long way. Perhaps maybe you've been in an unfortunate situation where you and your dad been estranged in some way, and life has become difficult for you to honor your dad. And maybe this day is not necessarily a day, an occasion where you celebrate so much because it's been some bad memories there. But I thank God that He can heal. God can heal any relationship. Amen. It'll be like it never happened. And I thank God that He can do that. He can remove that kind of hurt. The Apostle Paul says, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing to do. Verse 2 says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you and you will have a long life on the earth. So we can pick up two things here Paul mentions in these scriptures and in the Old Testament as well. If you honor your dad and or your parents, you will have success in life and be happy. You know, there's nothing like having success and not being happy. There's people who have success are successful, but they still have that ache in their body, in their spirit, that they haven't had that relationship with their dad and mom. You know, whenever I used to travel out of town, I'd be in BC or be in state somewhere, I always called my mother. Wherever I got to, I always called mom. I said, hey, mom, here's what I'm doing here. I'm over here doing this and that. And I was always, you know, when my mom died, and I had a greater relationship with my mother because, of course, my mother was with us every day. My dad was away lots of time. My dad was a traditional man, and he worked in the bush. He hunted and trapped for life for us. And he brought that, whatever he did in the bush, that's how he earned a living. And I used to, you know, it was no strange thing to come home and see all kinds of pelts on the walls with my dad's all kinds of animals. And that's how he made a living for us. And somehow I felt, with my dad, I always felt embarrassed because my dad was traditional and all the other dads went to work at the mill. And I always felt less of my dad. My dad never read a book in his life. He never had an education, and he never went to school of any kind. And he didn't speak English very well. He communicated very little with us, and maybe that's why he couldn't communicate with us very much. So, because we went to a school, a formal school, and he always told me, Roma, he says, don't follow what I do. I want you to go to school. I want you to get a good education. And he valued education so much, and he propelled me into what I am today. And he helped me go to school. And he was there the day I graduated from college. He was there. And the day my wife and I graduated university, and we were able to celebrate with my father. And when I became a pastor, he was there, sitting there every Sunday, watching me preach. And what a joy it was for him he would always brag about it. And he'd tell people, that's my son. Excuse me, you're sitting in my seat. Get out of the way. And my dad was like that. So, you know, he never spoke much to me, but I really appreciated his input in my life and what he did for me. So he lived a long life. And if my dad lived in his 80s, as much with the less information and the less stuff that I have today, I'll live to be 120 easy. Praise God. Amen. So the second thing is here, not only you'll have a success and be happy, number two, you'll be prosperous and healthy. You live long life. And, you know, the Bible talks about here, you will live long and healthy. But you don't want to just live long and be sick half the time. Barely know where you are. Can't walk around. Can't see. Can't move. Always in pain. Can't get out of your bed. Can't go anywhere. You want to live long and healthy. Well, the Bible promises that. That if you honor your father and your mother, you will live long. My grandmother lived to be almost, I think it was Ed, was it 100, grandma? Yeah, we call her granny. And she lived to be 100. And Ed's mom lived almost to be 100 as well. And you wouldn't tell how Ed is. Ed's almost 96. He looks pretty good. I'm just kidding. Ed's still, he runs all over the country, that fellow. He's acting like a young man. He's following his dad's footsteps, mom's footsteps. But anyway, there's longevity in our family, which is good. So, honey, you're going to put up with me for a while. And so it says, if you honor your father and mother. There's an if there. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you. Well, we want things to go well for us. You know, I don't know, if you have a broken relationship and you're at odds with your parent, that's a hard thing to go through all your life. And God instituted families and relationships. And when that's broken, it's really tough. And do your best to get it right with God. Get it right with God and try to make it. Sometimes you can't make it because somebody's not open and you can't really get to the person. But you go ahead yourself if you have to get it right with God between you and the Lord. And it'll go well with you. You'll be happy. So we give honor to dad because God said to honor them, and we show respect with our lifestyle to them. And we give practical love to our fathers, and we esteem them highly. We value them, and because God says that's appropriate. So again, we read Deuteronomy 5 and 16. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. I mean, this is not optional. This is something that God told you to do. You don't say, well, I'll just do what I want to. No, listen, you're not talking to me. You're talking about God. And I realize that many people have, strained relationships and broken things happen in homes and stuff. And maybe your dad didn't live up to what you needed them to be. We've all gone through those things. But there is healing available. Praise God. So a definition of honor means to highly value someone, to give them high praises and to esteem them. So dads, today we give you honor wherever you are, every dad across this city, wherever you are listening to this program, watching this program. You know, dads come in various forms. You know, you could be a biological dad, but never father a child. You could just be a part of the procreation, but never be there for that person. And just you have a biological dad, and just because you have a biological dad, it doesn't always work out, and you're not always be that close. You want to be close, but not always. I myself wasn't close to my dad. There was a generation where you weren't really close to your dad. I don't know if you recognize that, but there was a time where dads just came home and came with the hard hat and the lunch bucket, and they said, "Get out of the way! I'm going to eat," and so they were worked all day. And I was kind of reading a funny story there the other day. I think it was something to do with in the 50s, how to treat dad when he comes home. You remember that story? We'll talk about that next time. Anyway, you also have adopted dads. Dads who raise other children that weren't theirs. And they raise them as their own and love them as their own. And assist them, give the kids, raise them up with dignity and pride. And we honor those dads that have done that. Take someone else's child and raise them. And sometimes you raise, in our cultural families, we have, in our First Nations families, we raise kids that are not ours. And we take them and we take them as their own and treat them like they're our own children. And that's how it is in our traditional families. We do that. And some cultures do the same too today. And we thank God, when they grow up and leave, and there's an empty nest. That's what I am. We don't even have dogs anymore. So we have, like I told Pastor Ken, you enjoy your children. Because one day he'll just be crying. You ever see, he cries a lot. But he'll be crying every day when the children are gone. And he's very sensitive. He's a sensitive part of our pastoral program. If we want to cry, we go to him. And if we want any work done in the church, we just go to Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, fix this, fix that. Go over there, and he'll arrange all that stuff, and he's that kind of guy. Give charge. If me, I'm the smart guy. I'm the wise one, the wise owl. Amen. Praise God. We'll just leave it at that for now. And we could dream, right? We could dream. It's okay to dream. And so there's sometimes people who fill in the role of dad. They're not really your dad, but they come in your family. and they show up and they're there. They fill that role of a dad. We have uncles who do that for us in our culture. They come in, they serve as a dad, and they are there as a figure. We thank God for that. And I was raised in a traditional home where we honored people no matter what. When our grandparents came in, everybody got up, and we gave them the seed or whatever. That's how I was raised. My grandparents raised me that way and raised us and told us to honor the grandparents, honor the elders all the time. That's the way we grew up. But after a while, grandparents go away, and then you forget about the old people, elders and stuff. And you start doing what you want to do. Start teasing them. One of the greatest things that we did in our days, we start teasing people. You never grew up in the rest, so you don't know. So anyway, so you gotta find something to do. Anyway, so we have also our Heavenly Father, as someone mentioned earlier, and we have our dad, and our Heavenly Father is a dad, and he loves you, and we don't relate to him like that because we have been spoiled because of other examples that were wrong in life, and so we don't see a Heavenly Father the same way. But when you read the Bible, you see how wonderful God is. He's a great Father. He's planned everything. So the ideal Father, there's no such thing as an ideal Father. We can only imagine a person of such great importance and great development as an ideal dad, ideal parent. So what we need to do is strive to grow as great as we can be as a dad. So I encourage dads today, do your best with what you got. And do whatever you have to do as a dad, because no one taught you. And maybe you learned some things that were not healthy, but we're learning. So there's no perfect dad. Matthew 4 and 48, New Living Translation says, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So from the Amplified Bible, classical version, it gives this rendering. He said, therefore, you must be perfect, growing in complete maturity, in godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your Father is perfect in heaven. So we need to strive to be the best we can. Many of us try to be the best, but we failed no matter how hard we tried. We couldn't live up to the standard of people. We failed at times because of people's expectations. Some of us took formal education and training in college and university to understand about dads, about parenting. I took a course when I was in school. I wanted to learn, so I took family and marriage counseling courses, or just family and marriage, or family and marriage programs, just to learn about family. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know. I took child psychology and developmental psych just to learn about what happened to me. I took those courses for myself, and I took them because when I become a dad, I want to know about understanding children. I want to understand the development, what they understand, because kids don't understand like you understand things. And every one of us are in a phase of development. So I took courses myself, and some of you have as well. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says that God, that He is our rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything He does is just and fair. He's faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright He is. It's hard for us to imagine someone like that, that God is just. And sometimes we criticize and we judge God because we're missing pieces. We don't understand why something happened. We blame God for different things when really he didn't do it. And people make choices, and everyone has free will, and they get into trouble. So only God is perfect, and so we have to achieve to try to be like the Heavenly Father. We are encouraged to strive to be like Him. Ephesians 5 and 1 says, we imitate God, our Father. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. You know, children always follow their fathers, or father follow their parents, and they follow the ways and the way they behave. And so we need to behave, and just like Jesus, and just like what God would want us to be like. So it says, therefore, verse 2 in Ephesians, Therefore, be imitators of God, verse 1 says, as dear children, walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself to us for an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor. You know, as dads, you know, we need to love as much as we can. Love is unlimited. We don't just treat one child differently and we treat them all the same. We like to say that sometimes because we do have a lot of times, we do have a special child. But we have to treat everybody the same. Only a special child because there's something happened between you and them. Maybe this is the first child. And you know they say when kids are not wanted when they're in the gestating period, that they can sense that after they're born. You know, maybe you've had that situation, but I'm not sure how that works. But they say it happens that way, and research says that. So today, we want to make Dad happy, at least this day. You know, I mean, all the things he messed up on, we want to still celebrate them. You know, I don't know if there's any dad here who've never made a mistake. Let me just see who you are so we can start worshiping you right now. You might be God. But you know what? No one's done it perfectly. No one's done it. No one's going to ever do it perfectly. But we have to strive to be that. So Proverbs 23 and 24 says, the father of godly children has cause for joy. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What pleasure to have a child or children who are wise. You know, we want to raise wise children, and when they make wise choices, they make us happy. You know, for you, you can make your dad happy by making good choices, making the best choices ever possible. And remember this, when you're not doing so well, they're not happy. And you're not making them happy. And you bring them grief. Proverbs 23:24, the good news says, a righteous parents have good reason to be happy. You can take pride in your wise child. We all want to please our parents. We all want to please, especially today, we want them to be happy with us. We want our dads to be proud of us. You know, I know in heaven, I'm sure my dad is proud of me. When he looks down at heaven, he says, you know, says, I think we always talk like this way with me and Pastor Ken. I tell him, you know, your dad John's probably looking at you. And talking to my dad now, my son is doing this, working with your son down there. You know, something like that. So our dads are in heaven. So we have a relationship with our dad. Proverbs 23:25, King James says, your father and your mother, let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. The God's Word translation says, a parent of a fool has grief, and the father of a godless fool has no joy. That's Proverbs 17:21, God's Word translation. So, you know, we don't want to bring grief, we want to bring joy into a situation. And Proverbs says another thing here in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You know, we don't want that, kids. We want to make our fathers glad. We want to make our mother rejoice, not full of tears. You know, as I mentioned earlier, when I think of my dad, he was there in certain times of my life when I enjoyed success in my life. And I know my dad was happy during those times. And I would visit him once in a while. He was always a quiet guy. I'd go to his apartment and sit with him. And I knew in my culture that you don't always have to talk to be with somebody. And you don't always have to be busy. So I'd sit with my dad and I would just listen, look at him. And he wouldn't say anything. He'd be just sitting there. So I just sit and sit and sit, and looking outside. And I remember my other brothers, they would visit him, and he would always say, here's some money, go and have a coffee, so that they'd leave. You know, he gave an indirect comment about, you guys need to leave right now. But he didn't tell that to me. I said one time later in my dad's life, I visited him in his apartment. I said, Dad, I said, hey, I got to go. I got to go now, Dad. I got to go back to work. And he says to me, oh, yeah, where are you working? He says to me. I said, did the church? Oh, he says. he didn't think that was working at all. Anyways, see, we had a different perspective, eh? We had a different perspective about things. So we give our dads, you know, time to rejoice. And I hope and I believe that I did what I had to do to make my dad happy, to make my mom happy, and to do my best to be a good son. And I know my mom was very, you know, she was very happy with me when in my days when she was alive. My mom died very young. She was 59 years old. And when she went, and she said she was ready to go, but she didn't want to go because she was sick, very sick. And it was kind of a bad situation because I was happy to see her go to heaven, but also, and that her pain was over. I'm going to miss her. But those are days, you know. Enjoy your dad for now. Enjoy your parent. Enjoy your grandparent or your great-grandparent. I'm a great-grandpa myself. Praise God. Amen. And I'm also a spiritual father to different people. And I'm very aware of that. Very aware of that. And I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for my great-grandchildren. Pray for the wives. And I pray for all the children. My kids every day. I pray that they'll have success. Better than me. And they're doing a good job. And I thank God for that. So we live a good heritage for our family. There's one thing I want to tell you before we close here. You know, there's some dads out there waiting. They're waiting for the phone call. Waiting for that text message. Or they're waiting at home, waiting for you. Maybe you've had an estranged situation. There's a story about the prodigal son. How many of you remember the prodigal son? And he went away and he took his money and from his inheritance. There's no word for that in the Ojibwe language. No, I'm just kidding. No. What's yours is mine. I said, whatever is yours is mine. Where are you going with that car? I'm taking my car. One time it was funny, my wife and I went over to visit Ed and Max way back years ago, a couple of decades ago. We went to visit Ed and Max in the reserve, and so we drove in there. We slept there at night. It was late at night, I guess, probably about 11:30, and we were making our way to bed, and then people started coming in. My wife says, who are those people coming in? They're digging in the fridge, and they're eating and laughing and leaving. Who are these people? I said, oh, those are just cousins. They just come and go. And so that's like on the res, you know. You just come and eat. So whatever's yours is mine. That's what I'm trying to say. Mine is yours. And so if we take our car, it's your car, but it's mine too. But I'm glad they have laws on this side. In Luke chapter 15, verse 20, just let me remind you here. The son went away. There was a bad situation went on. The son finally came to his senses after spending all his money that his dad gave him. On while living, all his friends left him. He's alone now. He's working, and at the Jewish people don't work with pigs. He's working with pigs, and there's a story behind that. Anyway, and he's working with the pigs, and he's thinking, you know, these things look what the pigs are eating looks so delicious. I'm so hungry. While at my dad's house, the servants are eating better than me. And I realize something went wrong here. I want to tell God I'm sorry. I want to tell my dad I'm sorry. I want to go home. He came to his senses. So he started off to go home. You know, I guess dads, parents, they're always waiting for that wayward child to come home. And we pray for them. We pray that one day they'll come home walking down. You know, we always say a bee dust a little bit with her. You can see him coming a long way up down the road. That's what we say. You can see him facing this way coming, way down the road. And back in the old days, I used to get on the road and I looked way over there to see if my dad was coming. I could recognize my dad's walk from miles and miles away coming down. That's my dad. I recognize his walk. And so today, this guy here, He said, I'm going to go home. And did you know that the dad was waiting all the time? He's waiting all those years, waiting for that son to come home, waiting for to reconnect with that relationship. And I have relatives that are close to me that are not close to their dads. They're not close to their moms. They're estranged. And we need healing. And there's a whole story behind that, why that happened. There's a story of a broken relationship because of what happened, and the whole process of the colonization thing. We have some stuff that to explain about that, but sometimes people don't understand what happened. And there are kids that are estranged from parents. And we want them to be healed. And we know they can be healed. And so it says here in verse Luke 15:20, and so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. So he recognized, hey, that's my son coming. You know, this is going to be a joyous day when that happens. When they see you coming, you know, maybe they're in a home somewhere. You've been estranged. Maybe they're, you know, in some situation as bad as they are. Maybe they're in jail. Maybe they're in another city somewhere. But they're there, and they're waiting. And God has put that relationship together for a reason, and He doesn't want us to throw it away. And people are valuable. People should be esteemed. People should be recognized as being part of your family. And I thank God for my relationship, how God changed me. And I'm still healing. And there's days that I had times. There's even days right now where I'd be in my house and I'd be thinking about something. And I remember things about my past with my parents, or my dad, my mom. And I would get an emotional jolt on it and think about it, you know. So I would say continue to be healing. Have your healing journey. Connect with your father. Connect with your dad. You know, forgiveness is not about letting, that you're going to feel good right away. It takes time. Things take time. Healing does come. So we need to, the Bible says that the father was filled with love and compassion, and he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. Thank God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you please stand up with me as we close out this message? I hope you enjoyed that, because I didn't want to cause you any grief. Sometimes, you know, when you're saying a message, sometimes people go through stuff. They listen. But that's good. It's good to hear. It's good to hear that there is healing and help. So I want to pray healing for every relationship and family this day. Father, we thank you this morning as we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you all the people that are here that have dads and fathers, even mothers, where healing needs to be released. You said if we forgive, to forgive means to let it go. Let it go. Release it and let it go. And we know that it doesn't mean that everything's going to instantly turn good, but we're going to get a release on the inside that, Lord, I let it go. So as you're praying here this morning, ask God, Father, if there's any hurt between me and my parents, my dad, or even my mom, I release it right now. To you, I give it to you. Forgive me for what I said and what I did. And right now, Father, I forgive them. I forgive my dad. I forgive my mom. I forgive my parents. I'm going to do what you did for me, and that is to forgive. I'm releasing it to you. And I ask you to heal my heart and help me to have success and be happy. And help me to live a long life, not just barely making it along, but healthy right to the end, that when I die, I'll just close my eyes and say, I'm going home without sickness and disease, but just live my life out. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that healing be released to every man, woman, and child here in their relationships with their fathers. Thank you. Those that are watching online, we release the healing power, anointing of God to you right now. In Jesus' name, may healing be released to you. Health be released to you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing.